Joining us on the program, no day off from good eating, nutritional consultant Pam Colleen. How are you?
I'm great, Tom. How are you today?
I am excellent. Most people think of grocery shopping as a chore that has to be done. At the same time, you're trying to watch your pennies and you're trying to watch your dollars. But we have to realize, and I mean, you've been a huge advocate of this, and most new, you know, most people, we just can't put crap into our bodies. We want the best food, but we want the best price for that food. Is it possible to eat well at a reasonable price?
Yes, yes, as a matter of fact, it is. And you can go down the scale in terms of cost and quality based on your budget and possibly even whether or not you have a car. You know, I have a lot of people that I work with who may only have bus as transportation, so that might limit where they're going to do their shopping. So we have to let everybody know that the baseline image of a meal should look like what we ate before World War II, and that is 3 square meals a day. And so essentially the number of calories coming in should be mostly coming from animal fat. So about 70% of your calories should be coming from animal fat. And then about 20% of your calories should be coming from complete protein. And then about 10% of your calories coming from carbohydrates or essentially plant-based foods like fruits, vegetables, or grains. So that's the spread, and that's our goal for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So if your situation means that you have to shop at a grocery store, you should focus on the outer periphery of the grocery store and try to avoid the highly processed versions of the meats in particular. So try and avoid the deli meats and those types of foods so that you're eating a more complete protein, nice fatty piece of meat, for example, that you would get from, say, cooking up a roast and slicing that and turning that into sandwich meats. So that's the starting point for everyone, Tom. And then if people can actually go up a notch and get the gold standard, and that is go to a local farm, get to know your farmer, make sure the animals are outside on pasture, and that way you're going to have access to more nutrient-dense foods. They may cost a little bit more, Tom, but really it's well worth the investment.
One of the things that must be encouraging for people, and you've been an advocate for this for as long as I've been talking to you, is knowing where your food comes from. And we seem to see a greater, whether it's here in Niagara, where we have a lot of fresh fruits, but also, you know, we obviously have dairy producers and we have meat producers. But it must be encouraging for you that people don't assume that the food comes from the supermarket, that the supermarket has a supplier, and that, you know what, if you get to know local farmers or farmers markets, that you'll have a better connection with that food and what you're putting in your body. Are you encouraged by that?
I'm very encouraged by that. The numbers are up and they're increasing every single year, Tom. So more and more people are actually sourcing their food from local farmers. They're going to farmers markets. They're asking the people, the vendors at these markets, are you the producer or are you a broker? You know, where is this food actually coming from? And it's timely that we're talking about this today because, you know, we're fast approaching asparagus and strawberry season. So we're going to be seeing all this wonderful produce coming from local producers right here in southern Ontario. And you must ask these types of questions. When you go to the farmers markets, you must ask them, did this asparagus come from Ontario or did it come from thousands of miles away? Same thing with strawberries. And you can tell those strawberries that are coming from a long distance away because when you bounce them, that's how they're bred. They're bred to bounce. They're really rubbery and they don't really taste, to me, they don't really taste like strawberries. But when you eat a local strawberry, my goodness, the taste is absolutely out of this world.
How difficult is it to find a good quality, let's start with meat. How difficult is it to find good quality local meat producers that you can trust?
Well, I live in London, Ontario, and we have several farmers on the periphery of London that are producing grass-fed beef. And some of these farmers actually deliver right into London. So, I mean, this is quite the luxury. And I think you must have some similar resources in St. Catharines. And they're not typically very hard to find. I know if I go to the downtown market here in London, they have actually a pamphlet a brochure that describes these farms and gives us the contact information so people can actually hook up with these farmers directly and buy their food straight from the farmer. So it's quite encouraged, I think. I think to see that type of marketing going on is very encouraging, and I think that we're going to see more and more of it, because really it's the consumers who are driving the supply here. And every time, Tom, that we hear about a foodborne illness outbreak, guess what? The demand for local food and farm fresh food is increasing exponentially every single year, and consumers want to connect with their farmer.
I guess, as you say, if you're limited, you know, a supermarket, make sure you ask the questions. I guess a farmer's market would be next, but then the gold standard would be direct from the farm itself, so you could get to know the farmer and what the practices are. Am I right there?
That's a good scale, absolutely. Okay. And, you know, speaking of cost, Tom, and this is very important for people, you know, they want to know the cost. And you know, when you're buying farm fresh food, yes, unfortunately today, sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes the cost could be higher if you're buying this farm fresh food. And just as an example for, you know, for practical purposes here, if you look at the cost of the eggs in the grocery store, you do see quite a disparity in the cost, don't you, Tom? I don't know if you do the shopping or not, but
I do the shopping, and I know eggs are for regular a little over $2. It's about $2.29, maybe $2.49. It's about 20 cents, almost 20 cents an egg.
Okay, and then but here in London, if I buy my food from or my eggs from a local farmer, they may cost anywhere between say $2.50 a dozen to potentially $3.50 a dozen. And
okay.
To me, it's worth it because I know the chickens are outside running wild. And also, I've done the research, so I know that there's a really good chance that the nutritional value of these eggs is going to be higher than what I would get in a grocery store.
Yeah, if you were making it, I mean, to $3.50 a dozen, a dollar. And if a family goes through, maybe sometimes you go through a dozen eggs a week, sometimes more, sometimes less. But a dollar seems to be I think value conscious or nutritious conscious people are willing to pay that extra dollar.
I think so.
Most people are like, you know what, if you're on a budget and the dollar is going to be stretching it, still I know you're a big fan of the egg as a healthy food though.
Absolutely. I think it's a very cost-effective food to nourish ourselves with. It's very reasonably priced across the board, whether it's, you know, from a local from a farmer or whether it's a factory farm egg. It's either way, I think it's still a good food to eat. As you know, of course, there's a lot of opposition for the factory farming egg system and the battery cages that these chickens are being raised in. It's a very unhygienic, very unethical environment to raise chickens in, and I think we're seeing more and more of a movement at least to have these chickens running free in a barn versus being six or five or, you know, confined to a tiny cage. This is a terrible, terrible environment to raise any creature in. So I think we're seeing a movement towards something that's a little bit healthier for the animal, but at the same time, it's these chickens that are running free in the barns is still not the gold standard. It's still not going to make sure that the chickens are running wild outside, getting the vitamin D from the sun and getting the nutrients that they should be getting from eating bugs and insects and so on. So that's where you're going to get the gold standard. And the only way to really know how the chicken is raised is to actually go to the farm and witness it for yourself.
Now, what is the chicken in the city debate in London? Because I know it's been in Toronto. We've had this debate in St. Catharines. In Niagara Falls, you're allowed to have chickens in the city. And there's a number of people. We've talked about chickens in the city a number of times. And I've had people who are unbeknownst to their neighbors raise chickens. I have people in Niagara Falls who raise chickens and they don't have a problem. What's the story in London? Can you raise chickens in the city in London?
No, there was some activism on the issue a while back.
Okay.
I think it was a year or two ago, and it got voted down. So, no, we're not allowed to raise chickens in our backyards. But I do have a friend in St. Catharines, and she's raising her chickens in her backyard and gets her farm fresh chicken eggs every single morning, and she loves it. But I think, you know, right now, I think as soon as consumers really want to gain more control over their food intake. I think we're going to see more and more of a demand for, you know, these types of systems in place that are far more local. And that doesn't include just this issue of having backyard chickens. It also includes things like cooperatives or these types of community-supported agriculture systems, which are called CSAs. And people are joining these CSAs, so it gives them the right to buy their fruits and vegetables from a local farmer and even get involved in a community and even get involved in the farming of the produce that's being produced at these facilities, at these farms. So I think the city people are craving this type of activity in order to rejoin with nature, because we're so detached from nature living in the city, and we're so detached from knowing how our food is produced, where it's coming from, the quality of our food, and so on. And I think this is what people want to know now. They want to reacquaint themselves with authentic agriculture, as I call it.
Pam Colleen, nutritional consultant, joining us on the program, talking about where to get the best food for the best value, though, because it would be great if we could all afford or have access to ethical, organic, locally grown. Sometimes that's not the case, but Pam's going to tell us how to get the best value when you're shopping for your food. It may mean a little more work, but it's probably going to result in better food. 19 minutes after 11 o'clock, more with Pam when we come back here on 610 CKTV. 23 minutes after 11 o'clock, there's a growing movement to have a greater connection to the source of our food. Pam Colleen, who's a nutritional consultant, joining us today. Well, that's not always possible sometimes for location or economics. We can't always, everyone can't have the best food all the time, but Pam's here to tell us how to make a more informed choice, whether it's going even to your supermarket or your farmer's market or the farmer directly. Now, Pam, we talked about meat, who to ask for, and there's lots of opportunities because we do what you talked about with produce. So we have a local, produce group where we go, and Andrea fills up, and she's like, it's unbelievable how much you get. Like, it's so cheap for produce. And now it's like, well, you know what? You can do the same. Hopefully you can do the, maybe not with meat, but you can talk to the farmer, as you say, with meat. You can talk to, find out where your eggs are coming from. The next one, though, is it that easy with dairy? If I want to get milk or butter or cheese, how easy is it in the province, or is it different altogether?
Well, your gold standard in dairy is that it should be raw and from a farm fresh source. That's your gold standard. And fortunately, where I live in London, we have access to 3 cow share programs where we become owners, essentially, of the cows. And that way we're entitled to procure the raw dairy from the cow that we have signed a contract over as part of a way to own the cow. So okay. The law says that it's illegal to sell raw milk.
Right,
so
right.
To work around it, we have these cow share programs. And so this is what's growing across Canada and even across the United States right now, where people want to have high quality raw dairy from a cow that's been out on pasture. They don't want, of course, raw dairy from a factory farmed cow. We wouldn't want to drink that milk raw. That milk has to be pasteurized. But people are looking to get this gold standard in raw milk by buying it from local sources. Now, unfortunately, I'm sort of in the loop in terms of knowing where these cow shares are and how to obtain this farm fresh raw milk. And in your area, in St. Catharines, unfortunately, you don't have a cow share. But I can tell you that things are going on in the background to see if we can get one surfaced in these areas of Ontario where there's a deficiency of farm fresh raw milk, because consumers are certainly scrambling around trying to find it. There's no question about it.
All right. And then other dairy products, I mean, cheese, butter, you're a big fan of butter and cheeses and high fat foods that satisfy us when we're eating so we're not hungry 30 minutes later. I mean, is it just a matter of there's just lots of local farms that produce cheese and just source it out there, or where butter especially? I mean, does anyone, are there craft butters? Can you make, are there small butter producers that I could get, this rich, creamy goodness from?
You can get butters that are available from international sources, and they do tend to be richer, better tasting butters. I know the butter here in Ontario has been highly criticized because it's got too high a water content to it. So some of the chefs, especially the chefs that bake, usually would prefer to get butter from another country where the butter is indeed richer. So we'll see potentially. I'd like to see the butter that we do have in Ontario, I hope we can see it improve in terms of its quality over time because of these food critics out there. But yes, I mean, there are different qualities of butter that are out there, and I think people, if they're resourceful, they could probably find them at, sort of more niche supermarkets, for example. You will pay more for this butter, there's no question about it.
But it's a better butter.
I think you can find it, absolutely, a better quality butter.
Hey, I always wanted to ask you, when we look at milk, if I have to go to the grocery store, all right, so I have my choice of, I can get organic milk if I want, and I can get just your regular pasteurized milk. What about this fine filtered milk, where it's not pasteurized, but they use these fine, like a fine screen to take out the impurities? How is that milk?
I would question it simply because I think they're marketing it as something that can stay fresh for 2 weeks. That's just not natural, Tom.
But if I take out the bad bacteria.
Yeah, but I mean, I still question it. Okay. I just would question anything that's supposed to be natural. If it's natural, it shouldn't last 2 weeks. I mean, maybe a week at the most in the fridge, and even at the end of the week, it should start souring. Of course, if you take farm fresh raw milk and you put it on your kitchen counter to sour it, this is something you would want it to do. You wouldn't want it to be able to sit preserved for days on end. It's something very suspicious and very unnatural about having milk that can stay fresh, allegedly fresh, that long.
All right, good, because it's way more expensive than the other stuff. So I'm like, I'm not really getting much of a benefit then. So I don't feel bad.
There are some organic milks that you can buy, like Harmony, for example, which is an Ontario producer. Yep. And I do know some of the farmers who produce this milk. And these cows are outside. They're pampered. It's a very high-quality milk. Unfortunately, it is pasteurized, but at least it's coming from a very ethical source and very high-quality source. So you can see Harmony Milk in the grocery stores, and I think all of their dairy is sold in glass containers.
I think we have those glass containers.
And non-homogenized too, Tom, so you can actually see the cream on top the way it's supposed to be.
All right. Pam Colleen, always a pleasure.
Thank you so much, Tom.
Have a great week, and I'm on in London for the next 2 weeks, so we'll have to arrange what we do over the next couple of weeks, but look forward to talking to you then.
That would be wonderful. Thanks.
Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Tammy Jennerette coming up next with the news, and then when we return, fat facts. Yeah, some fat facts on how much fat is costing the economy more than you think. This is 610 CKTB.